What's up, Long Beach? I'm your host, Julia Goldman, and you're listening to Season 3, Episode 6 of Artist Banter, a daily 49er original podcast that delves into the many manifestations of artistry within our local scene. Today, I'm here with artist and author, Lydia Million. Hi, Lydia. Thanks so much for being here today with me. Could you give a brief introduction to everyone?
Hi, my name is Lydia. I am the author and illustrator of Zora and the People, a children's book I wrote when I was 16 years old during quarantine. And I'm also the founder of Human Central, a little blog site that I created as well when I was around 15. And that just like talks about all the my favorite things about like entertainment and also like educational topics.
That's great. I hear that you're from Sacramento. When did you move down here? And could you tell me about like what Long Beach has been like for you?
Yeah, I'm here for school. I'm doing community college and going to transfer to this university. But I've been liking it so far here at Long Beach. I love the community here and I love the beach. It's really nice being in SoCal.
Yeah, I'm a fellow transfer student. Hello, respect.
Yes, yes.
So at age 16, you were a junior in high school, right? Yeah. When Zora and the People was published. What is the story about?
So specifically Zora and the People is about a girl who is walking down the street with her dad, and she's seeing all these amazing people on her block. Throughout the book, there's like, it starts off where she sees, I think it's a florist. And then, yeah, it's just like throughout, it's like a mailman and, you know, a cook, there's a pilot in there, there's a nurse. And it's just like the young, typical wonders of a young child.
Oh, yeah. Like, it does seem, reading the "Some About Me" part at the end and everything, it does seem to have like a very personal element to you. Mm-hmm. What was the inspiration for this?
Zora is inspired by myself. I spend a lot of my time in Oakland, so mm-hmm. that's just such a vibrant city, and you see a lot of people, and even though I live in Sacramento, I would always go back to Oakland because I have so much family there, mm-hmm. and my dad was like the core part of this book because he was the one that would take me out onto the streets.
Yeah.
And I also never really grew up with like a Black girl character as mm-hmm. like in children's books. There's like 12% of children's books now that are just now actually written and depicted about Black authors. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to create something that at least, you know, not me, but maybe someone younger could relate to. And, you know, also Zora and the people is a reference to the Constitution. Mm. Zora is wearing red and blue.
Yeah,
and there's some white in the cover, so it's just also like Victim of America and how I see as fit.
Yeah, and it, especially when Zora is like out on the town seeing the people that make up the bodies of America, the workers that, you know, like are of color, like it's
exactly, and everything is intentional. Like mm-hmm. there's a Black woman pilot, rarely seen, a male nurse.
Yeah,
so it's just like, even the names are not, you know, the common names that we hear, because I think as much as the, you know, the main population of America, we see mm-hmm. them always represented. It's also to showcase the minorities that are a big part of why it's so special living here.
I really do appreciate the like intention that you put into it.
Yeah.
I was curious, was there specific like intention behind the name Zora?
Yeah, so Zora means like all around in Amharic, the Ethiopian language. Mm-hmm. My mom actually came up with that. I was like, I need a name for this character I'm creating. And she was like, what about Zora? It's like originated from Zoro, so like someone who goes all around. So
that's like really so fitting. Well.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
I wanted to specifically ask you, the book is the back of it has, you know, all the chef's hat, the flowers, the avocados, about the face masks and, you know, the books being released during the pandemic in 2020. Did that have any importance towards the story?
Yeah, I feel like if there wasn't quarantine itself, being isolated in my house Mm-hmm. And honestly, just sick and tired of scrolling on my phone and wanting to add something to the world. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have created Jordan People, because I think a lot of artists understand that, like, being by yourself is, like, when you're most creative. Mm-hmm. And if you're not being creative, then your mind takes over. Yeah. So that was just my coping mechanism, was just to be able to just create something. And I do have a business mind. I'm majoring in marketing. Mm-hmm. Because as much as I do want to add to my illustrations and, like, be a better writer, I think mm-hmm. it's so important to be a marketable person if you want to create stuff and sell it. So it kind of just had both of them in it. So yeah. It was like a little cool project to see how much I was really interested in business and then how much I'm interested in, like, you know, being creative, and I wanted to mix it.
And in what ways does this, like, marketing side and what you're learning and the kind of person you are, how does that intertwine with your creativity, if there's any, like, specific lessons?
Oh, yeah. Well, marketing itself, even though it's in business, it is more of a creative outlook onto selling a product, because you have to be creative in, you know, other ways. We see it all the time. We see posters, we see designs. So marketing specifically helped me for creating this book and selling it, because I had to be my own everything. Like, I had to promote this book on social media. I had to make sure I, like, I'm posting on TikTok, how many TikToks that I have to post a day, and then what graphics do people like. And it can be tiresome, but it's really important if you want to be, you know, consistent.
Huh. And, yeah, it was reliant on you. Mm-hmm. Could you tell me more about how this process, like, began and all those steps included with it?
Yeah. So I created it in August 2020, and then I made it my goal to publish it by the end of the year. So December, exactly December 24th is when it got, like, published. Mm-hmm. I self-published. Wow. I used Amazon's KDP. It's like for any, like, future self-publishing people that want to do it. It's really great, but it also takes away from, you know, local business, like local bookstores. Mm-hmm. So Ingram Sparks is what I transferred to now. And yeah, I started, everything on here is, there's physical copies of, like, the mailman. There's every drawing on here is from paper. Mm-hmm. And then I scanned it onto Adobe. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I formatted it and everything. The writing is what was the easiest, but the illustrations is something I'm also working on for my next projects. Mm-hmm. Just because I want to be better at that, and I want to keep it as, like, I want to keep that written and illustrated part of to my image.
Or you'll continue to scan it physically on.
Yeah. Do like it. I was inspired by Christian Robinson, is an illustrator that I'm really inspired by, and he does cutouts. Some of them are digital, but I love the feel that it gives you when there are cutouts. I don't know, they feel really kid-like.
Yeah.
And it's like everyone can relate to it. And it also, like, anyone can do it as well. I don't want it to be, like, pretentious. Mm-hmm. I want it to be like, oh, it's accessible. So, yeah.
Sorry. So interesting to hear about.
Thank you.
I guess continuing on with that way, like, how does writing children's literature differ from, you know, any other type of literature you would write?
Well, you want to make sure that the kids can relate, or that they're entertained by it. Mm-hmm. So I use rhyming to keep them entertained, because when I was never a reader growing up. Like, when I was young, it was really hard. I really stuck to children's books for a long time. but that's because I loved, like, the tale of it. I loved the rhyming scheme and using bright colors, obviously. But honestly, I just think about, like, my younger self. Like, how would I want to read a book? That's, like, like your inner child. Mm-hmm. Because you can't really... I have a younger brother. I see what he likes. We like different things. He's on his Roblox, like, section. Like, I don't think I'm going to cater to him. Yeah. But if I'm making something, I want to, like, create children's books, I'm going to just focus on my inner child. Especially, like, I really love Corduroy, that book. It has a black girl in it. People don't really... recognize, but she's only in it for a bit, but that, like, really changed, like, my perspective, because it was like, oh, there's a girl in this book, and there's, like, it's the cozy feel. I think there's also important to tell stories that are not always depicted on, like the pain of black people, which is important as well. But it's also nice to see people, like, just live life and do their own thing and be cozy.
Absolutely. We, like, I had a similar conversation with Lucy Brown, the theater arts playwright that I interviewed earlier this semester. Yeah. And she talked about specifically with an LGBT writing, like sometimes they have to be, it's either perfect or it's like depicting just pain and suffering.
Exactly.
And it's not like this everyday, like look at like people who work on the street, people who are part of our community, people who are within us.
Yeah.
And it's just those like genuine average depictions that are necessary.
Exactly. I feel like that's even the majority of people. I mean, who always wants to see someone on TV being the best or the worst when you don't feel like you are represented in that?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I really like that.
Oh, that's great. I think like throughout this process, you talked about the steps you had to take and learn to achieve this, but like what lessons did you learn throughout this process?
Ooh, it is difficult to do all these things, like to write and illustrate, especially when you're self-publishing. I realized that difference of like a company help you, and like seeing like the difference it is. But it's also very fulfilling. During my senior year, I like did so much like workshops for like at the elementary schools, and I'm so thankful for the bookstore I have to shout out, like in Sacramento, A Seat at the Table, or Elk Grove, A Seat at the Table Books. They sold my book, and like that was just so like life-changing for me, just to be able, like, oh wow, their risk at closing, so if anyone wants to support them, like that'd be amazing. But it was just, I learned so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now that I'm like, I took a break and I'm not really, I am wanting to write, I want to make this a series.
Mm-hmm.
But taking a break and like being inspired even more, because that's, I feel like Zorn the People is up until my life till 16. Mm-hmm. And so I want to get more knowledge.
Yeah.
You're gathering experience.
I'm still only 19. So it's like, I might as well just get more knowledge and like be able to create more. But yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Within my writing too, there's a balance between not guilting yourself over, you are obtaining like knowledge to create.
Exactly.
Yeah. Could you tell me a bit more about Human Central?
Yeah. So, Human Central is something that I created before I even thought about Zorn the People. This is before COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember driving past. I was like, I want to do something. Like, I want to have a hobby that's fulfilling. I did soccer. I didn't really like the sport active lifestyle for me. I wanted to just like be more, you know, driven. And yeah, I started writing blogs about people that were not like you didn't hear in history class, because I'm a little history buff. So I was like, I'm sick and tired of hearing all these like white men, and I want to hear like stories that like actually had value to my life.
Mm-hmm.
So then I started doing research, and I would write them off. So it's like a 15-year-old, how accurate can these be? But like these were like something that I really thought they were important to be heard. And then I one day was like, I want to post more, and I posted on TikTok and said, if anyone wants to write for Human Central, let me know. Send me your thing. And then it got like 300,000 views on TikTok, and I had like over 500 submissions. It was crazy. And I was like, I have to read all this stuff. But I did. I read it all, and I responded to people, and then people would write their blogs. It was all like a high school, like Gen Z thing. so I was like, you have to be high school or, you know, something like that. But
yeah,
it was really cool, because a lot of times there's companies that have like certain ways. I'm really like loose with it. I'm like, write whatever you want to write,
and then,
because I think that's kind of rare these days.
Yeah.
Seeing like what actual people, like young people, want to talk about, not always what's on the news, or not always like what we see in the media. But obviously I wasn't really much organized then, but I think it's been now 2 years since that. I took a break because I wanted to, you know, focus living, and you know, I think it's important to not be too obsessed with the whole grind culture. So I did take a pause for that. But I do want to bring it back in a more sustainable way in my life.
You edited everything by yourself?
Yeah.
I mean, I can understand
My friends did it. They didn't understand like what it is. But then now getting older, like talking to people like you, it's like, yeah, that's a lie. No one should be doing that. So Human Central, these two, I've always said, I always like pick and choose which one I love the most. But I'm at the point in my stage where I love both of them very equally. And so I do hope to be more focused on them. But yeah.
They come from you.
Yeah, thank you.
They're both worthy of recognition.
So currently where you are now, what do you have on the horizons? What are you gathering and within your studies?
So again, I'm still a marketing major. I'm focusing on that. Just want to, you know, power through, get that degree. Human Central, I'm wanting to relaunch that again. So I'm working on that and writing for that as well. And then for Join the People, I did finish the second book. So yeah, I finished writing it. I haven't started illustrating because that's the process. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you want to look out for that in the future.
That's great.
Yeah.
All right. So for your upcoming projects, do you have anything that you want to send people towards?
Check out Human Central. It's on Instagram, just Human Central, and see what's the next articles that are coming up on there.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on today, Lydia.
Thank you.
We hope to see you in the beach.
Yeah.
See you guys. This is amazing. All right. If you want to hear more from Long Beach's own contributors of art and music or follow along for future conversations, check out our website, daily49er.com, and our socials at daily49er. To see a collection of Lydia's work and follow along with her journey, check out her blog. It's at Human Central on Instagram. We appreciate you being here. Take care and see you soon.